In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ironically, this morning, as I was in Orthros, one of our parishioners said, please remember to tell people about the introduction to the Lenten Triodion that was translated by Kali Sozwer, because there are so many good things in that introduction. And I said, yes, absolutely. And I didn't have time to say, and in fact, I was going to begin this morning's sermon with a book plug as well. Not for that introduction to the Lenten Triodion, which is exceptional, but for the very, relatively short book called Great Lent by the late Father Alexander Schmemann. And I'd read it years ago and then reread it recently when I flew down to see Stefan down in college. And I remember how long ago I'd read it, because the boarding pass that I had used as the bookmark was one of those old-timey boarding passes you don't see anymore. But I'm sure glad I reread that book, because there are so many pearls in it. And one of them is the following line that Father Alexander uses when he's talking about Forgiveness Sunday. And this is it. This is perfect. He says, sin is the absence of love. Isn't that something? Sin is the absence of love. And you could almost really, at that point, stop the sermon right there. When he was still alive, Bishop Erasmus, of blessed memory, who was at the seminary, frequently after services, he would just walk out and say something like that. And it's just perfect. Sin is the absence of love. And now, we could just expand on that a bit, just so we are kind of on the same page, if you will. But we know that God is love. How do we know that God is love? Because the Bible tells us that. And we know that that's true. God is pure love. And when there is no love, there is no God. And when there is no love, of course, there is sin. And we know that sin, in and of itself, is a selfish act. We are thinking about ourselves first. And if I'm thinking about myself first, I certainly cannot be acting out of love. And we also know that when we sin, we estrange ourselves from God and from other people. We break that relationship. And if I have broken a relationship with God, with another person, obviously that is the absence of love. And Father Schmemann then continues to talk about Judgment Sunday and talk about it as the love for our fellow human. But not in general, but in specific. Because he reminds us, and we heard the gospel reading in Greek and English this morning, he reminds us that while it says the nations will be gathered, it says whatever you have done for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me also. One of the least of these. And so he reminds us that this judgment which awaits us is hinged on, dependent on, the love that I have for individual human beings, fellow human beings. And I think about that, and I understand why so much of what we see around us in the fallen world does not make sense. When we talk about the love of the individual, whatever you do for one of the least of these, my brethren. Because we live in a world that wants to label people and objectify them. And so people, frequently they'll meet you and they will tell you everything about themselves with a label that they've imposed upon themselves. This time of year when politics is in the air, people say, I'm so-and-so and I'm a libertarian and I'm a Democrat, or I'm so-and-so, I'm a Republican, I'm voting for Joe Schmo, like I even asked you. But we love to label ourselves. And if we label ourselves and objectify ourselves, it's no wonder that we objectify other human beings. It's our frame of mind, and it is so unhelpful, in fact, detrimental to treat people that way. Other human beings are not objects, they're not labels. They're people, and we should be struggling to get to know them and love them as individuals. This love of individual also explains why grouping people together doesn't really sit well with us Orthodox Christians. It feels unnatural, and it is. And, you know, while we can say, kind of ironically, never generalize, which obviously is a bit of an internal contradiction, we get the idea. We can't just say that all this kind of people are this way, or all that kind of people are that way. It's unchristian, it's unnatural, quite frankly. Now, we've talked about in mission work how we need to identify specific groups that we can reach out to, and that is true. We've mentioned before that in growing churches, it's easier to ask somebody to become a Christian than to change their cultural, ethnic, or linguistic identity. We know that's true. So we do identify groups, but even then, we don't treat those people as a group. We love them as individuals. My Symbethros is going on a trip to Africa with my good friend, also Father Martin Ritzy. And they're going there, yes, to a specific group of people, but while they're there, they will treat them as individuals. Now, a sermon like this needs a little intermission, so this is a chance to relax our brains a bit and review something you may have heard before. I was reminded of it this past weekend when I was driving, or this past week, I should say, when I was driving the featured speaker of our clergy-laity conference and priest retreat back to San Francisco. And he reminded me of this, and it's a joke of sorts. And you can tell it as heaven and hell. I prefer telling it as utopia versus dystopia. What does utopia look like from the perspective of ethnicities? Well, in utopia, the French are in charge of cooking, the British are in charge of manners, the Germans are in charge of timeliness, and the Greeks are in charge of entertainment. So that's the utopic future, the perfect future. Dystopia, the future of Mad Max, etc., dystopia looks like this, right? The French are in charge of manners, the British are in charge of cooking, the Germans are in charge of entertainment, and the Greeks are in charge of punctuality. But that little joke not only gives us a chance to think about groups and labels and objectifying people, but it brings us to the third point about treating people as individuals. And it's this. Why is it that social action, that getting out and marching and protesting to make the world better in the future, why is that that it doesn't sit well with us? And it's because we're talking about an idealized utopic future that may or may not exist. And so all of the time that we spend in social action trying to build this super colossal wonderful future means that every moment that I spend doing that is one less moment that I don't spend in the present. In the present, right now. This is what we're called to do. To be in the presence, to be in the kingdom now, to love our brother and sister right now, to make the world better, quote unquote, right now by the power of Jesus Christ because of our love for one another. Well, is there an antidote? Is there an antidote to the things that the world puts upon us? This objectifying, these labels, grouping people, social action that wants us to long for some sort of an idealized future. The antidote is the church, obviously, but in a very specific way, what we do in our outreach ministries is the antidote. Because when we are engaged in outreach, helping the least of our brethren, we have to move beyond labels and objectifying people. And those of us who have participated in the street outreach at Holy Trinity know this to be true, because you go there and you bring something to someone and all of a sudden you're not talking about the homeless, you're talking about this person to whom you are handing goods and food. Outreach ministries moves us also beyond grouping people. It does it internally because when we gather to do our outreach ministries, there's people from all different groups within the parish participating. But then also we, in our outreach, we don't serve groups either. we again serve people. The trip to Project Mexico will be, yes, serving the needs of the people who live in and around Tijuana. They are Mexicans, but they are people first and foremost. And so when our teams finish a house and the house is blessed by the priest there, and then the house is given to someone, it's not being given to a resident of Tijuana or a Mexican or anything. It's being given to a family, to a person. And I think the most beautiful thing about being engaged in outreach as a church is it does liberate us from social action. And we can let other people close down the Bay Bridge and put blood on their face and roll around in the BART station and do all those crazy things that will never make the world a better place. Meanwhile, in the present, we can love people and take care of them. And that's why we do this. That's why we engage in outreach, so that we can do this thing that Father Schmemann calls us to love other individual human beings. And all of us need to do this. And no one can be loving enough. No one can be attentive to another individual enough. It just doesn't work that way. All of us are deficient in this area. And obviously, I hope, obviously, that we practice our love, we put our love into action when we are engaged in taking care of others. Which brings me to a short plug for this morning's coffee hour and then the ministry that we will once again help sponsor, these trips to Mexico. We do this so that the people who go on the trip and that those of us who are behind supporting them with our prayers and financially, so that all of us can reach beyond our tendency to be objectifiers and groupers. Our tendency to want some idealized future that is really just a pipe dream. And to do something right now. So, dear brothers and sisters, I would simply ask as we prepare to begin Great Lent, officially 1 week from tomorrow, but for all practical purposes, 1 week from tonight when we gather for the forgiveness service, I would hope all of us will remember that the isolation that spawns sin, the isolation that spawns sin has an antidote. And that antidote is to do the following. To engage our fellow man and woman as individuals, in our ministries, but also in every interaction we have with other people. Stop objectifying, stop generalizing, stop losing the present as we pursue some elusive future that might never come true. In other words, as we begin Great Lent, we would all do well to stop sinning and start loving. Why? Because the words are true. Sin is the absence of love.